الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. وعن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث طويل: ألا إن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب. رواه البخاري. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers and sisters that may be listening over the receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance in this beautiful deen of ours that will ensure our success, our salvation, not only in the hereafter, which is the more important life, wal akhiratu khayru wa abqa, but also in this life. And if I have to ask each and every one of us, probably one of the aspects that concerns us day to day, if you ask a person, what do you want? A person will say, look, I want happiness, I want peace, I want a feeling of tranquility. This is what I want in my life. And the beauty of our deen is that it provides us that path to peace, to tranquility, to what we may term in one word, perhaps as success. It provides it to us as far as this world goes, and it also, more importantly, provides us for the hereafter. And if we have to reflect over this verse of the Quran Sharif which I recited and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then in this particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identifies what we can call as the root cause and the basis from where tranquility, peace, harmony, happiness, where does it stem from? It comes from the heart. If we have to reflect over the world today, the world is telling us a different story. The world is telling us the dictates of, as we would say, the dunya, this lowly life, this closer life, is telling us that focus, get your material possessions up. Ensure that you have enough material possessions. Make sure that you've got status, you've got power, you've got influence. That's why all of us are driving for that. We're driving for, how can I make sure that not only my income is sorted out, I got passive income, my next generation, the next 7 generations too we must have. And if Allah blesses us with that type, then very well and good, alhamdulillah. But, brothers, what we need to reflect, and this is the purpose for these Jummah talks, for myself to reflect, for each and every one of us to reflect, is that is not the solution to the issue. How do we know? We know that because there are countless examples today where everything, all the material matters are in place. Families have never had more wealth than they have today in certain cases, but there have never been more fights, more divorces, more hatred between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, than we find today with all of the wealth and all of the outward resources, what we may term as the facade or the outward structure of success. The outward structure of success, what we think, it's a superficial. We have been beguiled. We have been مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. We have been deceived by what we think is success. So the issue is that, brothers, that although we may not say it, but our actions and deeds are proving that we feel that by sorting out our material lives, by making sure that materially we have achieved a level of comfort, then by default that means we would have achieved comfort and peace and tranquility of the heart, which is the real and the true success. My Shaykh Hazrat Muhaqqiq Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say very beautifully, Sukune jahan tum kahan doondte ho, सुकूने जहां तुम कहां ढूंढते हो, सुकूने जहां है निजामे मदीना. Where are we looking for peace and tranquility in this world? He says that the peace and tranquility is in that way and that system of Medina Sharif taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then very, very beautifully he says, Ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se. Everyone has some kind of challenge and problem, even the wealthiest person, the person with the most power. In fact, sometimes they have more headache and more stress. In fact, it reminds me of another share of our late Shaykh Hazrat Muhakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Shahon ke saro par taj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Aur ahle wafa ke seeno mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. That the kings of this world, that crown, it sometimes gives them big, big headaches. That fear of they need to move in an entourage of hundreds of cars of security and this worry and that worry. And the ahle wafa, the people whose hearts have been fixed, the people whose hearts have been rectified, the hearts are healthy. And here when we say heart, when it appears in the Quran Sharif, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it doesn't necessarily mean only the physical heart. It refers to that capacity for a person to accept the truth. It refers to in strengthening the soul. We all believe that there is a soul, there is the ruh within us. So, this belief that no, if my outward, needs are taken care of, then somehow automatically I will achieve peace and tranquility. This has been debunked. It has been rejected with evidence throughout the world, but yet we persist in this searching for it and making compromises of where the true peace and tranquility is to be found in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to finish that verse of poetry, Hazrat says that Ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se, that person will be freed from the anxieties of both the worlds. Anxieties of both the worlds. Who jo ho jaye dil se ghulam Madina, that person who becomes truly a slave of the way of Medina Munawwara, meaning the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So brothers, I think this is a very, very important factor to be reflecting on every single day of our lives. Every single day of our lives. If we're feeling that, and it's a genuine issue across the communities, across that we can, despite whatever we're doing, people are feeling anxious, they're feeling unhappy, feeling anxiety. And the issue is that the root cause we're not sorting out. You know, they say when you want to solve a problem, solve it at the root cause. Solve it at the root cause. If we got, for example, we're having challenges with crime and these issues, someone says, no, put more police, get more security, do this. The root cause is that we need, as a community, as a society, we need to inculcate the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the root cause. Then you don't need more police, you don't need more security. If a person has, for example, a problem with depression, it's becoming a common thing, right? Then we doing consultations upon consultations. I'm not saying that there isn't a place. Sometimes there's a genuine place. Medically, there may be a genuine need, and that attention must be taken. But where we forget the real root cause is that how is my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, that if we fix the heart, everything else becomes fixed. And we, inshallah, we'll try and discuss some aspects about how do we identify when the heart is not fixed, what needs to be done, what are some of the areas that we can do, we can focus on. It is not difficult, brothers, but the first thing starts from realizing that we have a problem. We have a problem if the focus is only on the solving the symptom and not identifying and not resolving the root cause. There will always be a continuous anxiety in our lives. Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. Allah Ta'ala protect us from that situation where we are. And then what happens is that we carry on trying to, we in fact administering the wrong medicine, and the case carries on deteriorating. Hazrat Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi gave a beautiful example of this. many of our ulama, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi has given, and both of them will quickly share. One example he gives is that a person was looking for something that he lost. So a young person passed by this elderly gentleman who was looking outside, and he asked him, "Oh uncle, what are you doing?" He said, "No, I lost something and I'm looking for it." So he began helping him. He said, looking, couldn't see it. So then he said, "Okay, try to think where you lost it, uncle. Where did you lose this article that you lost? Where did you lose it?" So he said, "No, I lost it inside the house." So he said, "But why are you looking for it here? Why are you looking for it outside if you lost it inside the house?" So it might sound like a very, very simple example, but our example is this. We lost our peace and tranquility through focusing the heart on the incorrect things. But we're looking for the solution everywhere else. We're looking for the solution. We are looking for the solution through increased wealth, increased influence, maybe having some nice clothes. And the irony of it is this, brothers, that everything, all of those things can be in place. You can have the most wealth, you can have the best clothes, the best vehicles, most amount of influence, but inside the heart can be burning. And the counter is also true, that you can be, Allah give all of us the best of dunya and akhirah, but you can be deprived outwardly from very, very fancy material possessions, but inside the heart is rich and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will be filled with sukoon, it will be filled with tranquility. So, what we then need to reflect over, brothers, is that how then do we identify and understand that, do I have a problem with my heart? Do I have a problem with the heart? Because the person is not going to just start looking at wrong. Allah forbid, today it has become one of the biggest scourges, and especially nowadays, even more and more, especially in the age of AI and social media, and that person is not going to, the eyes will not look at haram just on their own unless the heart is sick. Because the heart believes that no one is watching me, or I'm getting away, no one is seeing, I'm in the four walls of my bedroom, so I can do whatever I want. But the person doesn't know that jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. If you know that Allah Ta'ala is watching us at that time, if we really believe, the heart believes that, then we wouldn't have been doing that. So if we have that problem, then we know there's something wrong with the heart. There's something wrong with the soul. The soul is not able to maintain that result. Just like if you tell a person who is unfit, you tell him run, just go on the treadmill or run a few kilometers, he'll run 500 meters, he'll be out of breath. So the soul hasn't got that spiritual stamina to oppose the dictates and the desires of the nafs. So therefore what happens, and he falls flat. So this is a sign now that heart requires some effort, and firstly a recognition of the problem, and then going and addressing that through strengthening, like how you do physical exercises. There are physical exercises. If you go to a person who's an expert in the physical strength, you say your muscles are very weak, lift a little bit weights. Then there are spiritual exercises that can also be done that have the effect of increasing the person's spiritual strength and spiritual resistance. But it requires a consciousness, brothers. It requires a alertness that I have this issue, and I need to have this concern that how can I improve, how can I strengthen my spiritual side. Similarly, the person is ready to do a deal that is a doubtful deal, or Allah forbid, a haram deal, deal in some stolen goods. There's quick profit to be made here. What is it a sign of? It is a sign of the weakness of iman, that the person is not believing that my rozi will come to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if he had, it's the sign of greed in the heart. So the heart is sick, and the manifestation of that is now reflecting on the actions that are coming about. But if we rectify the heart, if that heart is a heart that is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is a heart that is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. If that heart knows that I am going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so therefore I'm going to resist this temptation that will come. That temptations that will come to disobey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then immediately that heart is now going to experience a tranquility. In fact, it reminds me of a hadith which my Shaykh Hazrat Muhaqqiq Maqtal Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to quote with regards to the biggest scourge of our time, which is the sin of the eyes, again, which is related to the weakness of the soul and the weakness of the heart, the spiritual strength. That this casting of lustful glances and looking at haram. But Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to quote a hadith, a Qudsi, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which he said that النظر سهم من سهام إبليس مسموم من تركها مخافتي أبدلته إيمانا يجد حلاوته في قلبي. Look at the link between the action and directly on the heart and the spiritual strength and soul of a person. That this evil glance is an arrow, it is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. That person who leaves it out of my fear, that means the person must have the fear of Allah. He must have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Allah ta'ala says in this hadith, Qudsi, that I will convert that pain that he experiences, or that resistance, that difficulty that he experiences, I will convert it into a sweetness which he will taste. يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِيهِ. He will feel it, he will experience it in his heart. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi says, he explains that what is the sweetness of iman? He says it is the tawfiq that the person will pass away with the kalima la ilaha illallah. This is what it refers to. So, similarly, every limb of the body that is manifesting an action which is contrary to the teachings of deen, it will stem from a weakness in the heart. It will stem from a weakness in the heart. And therefore, brothers, what are some of the actions, what are some of the mechanisms that we can implement in our lives to focus on improving our spiritual strength, our spiritual stamina, and improving, and as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. Let's improve the strength of the heart. How do we do that? The first thing that we can do is be conscious that our objective, and have the objective aligned. What is the objective of the human being? We are not like those that are lost, the agnostics and the others that are looking for a purpose in life, and the philosophers, and Allah Ta'ala has made it easy for us. Our objective is the worship and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our objective is, it is not the accumulation of wealth, because that again, once our objectives have been misaligned, then it is misaligned. We are, Allah Ta'ala created us, He told us what our objective is. So if we align our life story, our efforts, our priorities with the objective which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us, which is His recognition, His obedience, His worship, then immediately everything else will take a second place, and even resolving issues that we face day to day, a person will just reflect in his mind and he'll say that, look, what is my objective? My objective is to please Allah. Where will be the pleasure of Allah? Where will be the pleasure of? So this is such a simple way of reflecting and strengthening this heart. Setting the objective right first. The objective is not the accumulation of wealth. The objective is not the accumulation of status. The objective is not to be engaged in self-praise. The objective is not greed. The objective is not influence and power and authority. The objective is not showing off. The objective is not to be the best and the strongest and the show off to the rest. It's not the purpose. So if we can set the objective correct, immediately the direction, as they say, the qibla now is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are other mechanisms that are there that can assist and be supportive. But the primary is this. The primary is set the objective right, that what is my object in life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the fundamental, the foundation of setting right the heart. Then there are other actions that a person can engage in. The ulama have written that saying the kalima la ilaha illallah, for example, in generally dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person remembers something fondly, his attachment towards it grows. So if the objective is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we engage, there was a time in the households that the first thing that would be done in the morning after returning home would from the Fajr Salah would be families would be reciting the Quran. So let's ask ourselves, is it still happening like how it was happening those years, few, maybe perhaps 1-2 decades ago? It's definitely not the same. That connection, every household had a connection with the Quran Sharif, that the day is starting with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So, this remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of zikr, in the form of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, in a systematic way, in a consistent way, it has a very, very powerful impact in keeping a person's objective aligned on a daily basis. Then, the person also engaging in some private ibadat, especially at the time of tahajjud. Especially at the time of tahajjud, if a person gets the tawfiq to cry privately before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person is alone, and the tears of that person who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, very beloved. Are very, very beloved. But it just requires a little bit of effort. A few minutes before, 15 minutes before the Subh Sadiq time, a person can wake up. And that too, the ulama have written that if a person is finding that difficult, then after the 2 rakats sunnat, sunnatul mu'akkidah of the Isha Salah, if a person reached 2 rakats as niyat of tahajjud, that is also, he's counted as amongst those who have performed the tahajjud salah. The purpose is this, that a little bit of private ibadat and reflection, reflecting every day when the person is in that communion, that communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how blessed are we as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We don't have to go and confess in front of some human being, I did this and I did this, and direct link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pour out that this was my day, and reflect that I did this, I did that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then ask Allah ta'ala to strengthen that relationship with Him. One of the aspects that is also mentioned in this very hadith, and perhaps it is something worthy of making special mention of, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, which was regarding the heart as being the central focus for what we need to fix in order to achieve happiness and tranquility, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before, in the beginning of the lengthy hadith, which I didn't quote, and there's perhaps not enough time to go into the detail, but he spoke about halal and haram being clear. There are many rulings, things, certain things clear-cut halal, certain things that are clear-cut haram. Obviously, the halal we can be involved in and partake and permissible, and the haram we must stay away from. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "Ala wa inna li kulli malikin himan, ala wa inna himallahi maharimuha, ala." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wa bainahuma umurun mushtabihat." There is one category of things that are sometimes doubtful. So doubtful means that a person is not sure, or in the community, or there's a certain thing that everyone is doing. Someone says, "But you know what? Everyone is doing it." Or it's something quietly you know about, but in your deepest of, if your heart is clean and pure, that is, and not sick, not diseased, the person knows that, you know, there's something little bit doubtful about this. Sometimes if we're not sure, then the person who does have a sound heart, ask them, am I taking some secret profit from the company that I'm working in? Or is there some funds of a family member somehow that is with me, and I didn't return it, someone entrusted me with something? Or there's a transaction which could be technically correct, but I wouldn't want to be known to have been involved in such a transaction in public. So these categories of things, if a strong heart, a healthy heart, will stay away from these. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example, it is like that shepherd that's taking his flock of sheep near a sanctuary. If he's going to go too close to the sanctuary, although technically he may be in the permitted area for grazing, but if he gets very, very close to the border, then the chances of him falling into that prohibited and restricted area become very, very high. So a sensible and a smart and a strong heart will stay away from that. Our example is the same, brother. Many of us, in fact, all, if you have to reflect, people didn't just go headlong into haram and total criminal and totally forbidden behavior. Slowly, slowly, the mind starts to justify. No, this is okay. This much is fine. This one, you can technically, we can reconcile it. There is a basis, there is a reasoning I can give myself in my mind for that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us one litmus test for that. As long as that heart is a little bit, has strength, it hasn't gone dead totally. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, he said, "Wal ithmu ma haka fi sadrik." That sin will be what is scratching at you within your heart. It's you uncomfortable about something. وَكَرِهْتَ أَن يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. And you fear, and you don't want anyone to know about it. If you have things like that, brothers, and we're involved, then we must reflect. And if we are blatantly involved in wrong and haram, and we're not finding peace and tranquility, then we know the reason is that we have got our priorities wrong. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us, for myself first and foremost, for each and every one of us, to live a life that is full of peace, of tranquility. It's possible for each and everyone. The beauty is, it's not linked to your bank balance. It's not linked to your status. It's not linked to which family you come from. It is linked to your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our connection with Allah ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless each and every one of us with an extremely strong connection with Him. May He remove the difficulties, the hardships facing the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to mention, next week, we have a very, very great scholar of the Ummah visiting the country. Perhaps many of you may have seen, there's some programs in Durban on Thursday night, I think, at Masjid al-Salam, and on Friday, Jummah, at the Muaz bin Jabal Masjid. Many years ago, we had Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, visiting South Africa in this very masjid. From this minbar, he spoke when Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah Ali was here. I think it was 2007. These great personalities don't come frequently. In fact, one of the points which I omitted to mention, part and parcel of strengthening the heart, is being in the company of great and pious people. Sometimes just one meeting can change a person's heart, can strengthen and give them that energy, like how you get a nuclear energy you get. Some people have a very, very, such a strong connection with Allah Ta'ala. So these pious friends of Allah Ta'ala are such like that. So we must take the opportunity of participating in the programs that are going to be announced. Great ulama, I remember that time when Hazrat came here, then Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah Ali was introducing him, and he said, this man is, he's one person who has made khidmat in every aspect of deen. Such a great scholar, world renowned. And not only that, he even mentioned that he is like the Maulana Alimiya Nadwi of our time, who was a very, very great scholar. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of benefiting from the company of all of the pious, and especially Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib is going to be visiting South Africa in these next few days. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.